The sermon topic today is answering the call. Okay. Answering the call. And the main idea is that, you know, answering the call is living the life of faith in Christ day by day by day. Answering the call is living the life of faith in Christ day by day by day. And, you know, as a recent newlywed, I was reminded of how I got this way. And actually, I got this way by saying yes. And when I said yes, a whole lot of stuff changed and is still changing. So, you know, and saying yes leads to a lot of things, right? And so today we're going to talk about how we said yes to the Lord and what is happening and what we're saying yes to. And what does saying yes look like? So, you know, I was leaving work on Friday, and I was just, you know, beat up from the week. Some of you shared that this was a week, and sure enough, had nothing left. And so I thought about the message, and I was like, Lord, whew, Lord, I just don't know. And then the Lord, you know, whispered. He said, well, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And I say, Lord, here am I. I'm here, Lord. Always, always, Lord. And so, praise the Lord, that is what started me thinking about answering the call. Because, yes, one day I did answer the call. And you all are here today because you did the same. Either you answered the call or you're trying to figure out what this is all about. And so you're being drawn in some way as well to this call. And that verse that I mentioned, whom shall I send, is actually from Isaiah, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and we're going to read just the first 8 verses there. And either turn to it, you know, I'm old-fashioned, so I'm saying turn to it. You know, you can just, you know, quicker ways nowadays, right? So Isaiah, the 6th chapter, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Throughout time, the Lord has sent out the call. Here we read the passage describing the calling of Isaiah. Bible scholars place his age between 18 and 20. When God revealed his glory to him and commissioned him as a prophet. The calling of Isaiah took place during the decline of Israel. It was a time of great rebellion. So he was called not only to declare God's judgment, but also his salvation. some of the most beautiful passages of scripture came through Isaiah. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah also spoke of God's punishment for rebelliousness. It was also through Isaiah that the promise of Jesus came in chapter 9 of Isaiah. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Yet when God called Isaiah, even though all of this came through him, his first response was, "Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." All Isaiah could see was his unworthiness. All he could see was his shortcomings. The seraph, it says, flew to him, got a coal, touched his lips, and then he heard it say, "This has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." God has a remedy for our perceived shortcomings. He has a purpose for everything. There are similar passages that describe instances of people who are young in age who hear and respond to the call of God. Jeremiah was most likely in his late teens. Records say that he was around between 17 and 20 years old when God called him to be a prophet. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Alas, this is Jeremiah speaking. "I don't know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, "Don't say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. There's a parallel here. "I have put my words in your mouth." Today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. You see, Jeremiah, not only will I give you the words to say, you are going to uproot something so that I can put something new in its place. Another example, Josiah. Josiah, if you recall, he was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. What's written about Josiah is that he says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. And then there's Mary. Let's not forget Mary, who was called to bring the Messiah into the world as a teenager. There is often a response of disbelief followed by God's reassurance to be with them. This is the pattern. God calls, there is disbelief, God reaffirms his choice and gives divine enablement to accomplish his will. So why were so many people called by God in their youth? Think about it, and then I'm going to want to hear what you think. I mean, youth can be such a time of doubt in a person's life. why not call people after they are well established in their careers, intellectually and emotionally mature, with lots of experience to rely on? Huh? Why? God, do you do that? In Luke 2, we read that Jesus at 12 years old and still under his parents' authority, amazed the teachers in the synagogue. Next, we have the examples of the disciples. Although the exact ages aren't mentioned in Scripture, they were also thought to be in their late teens and 20s when called. So why does God call the young? I have LOL, I'm waiting for an answer. Why do you think? Why? Many of us were called. Trainable and will listen. Elder Don says the Lord uses the weak things to confound the strong and the yes. Youth is often a time of passion, zeal, energy, reckless abandonment. Just go for it, you know. And maybe does God want us to just go for it? Leaning and trusting on him. Now, Paul told Timothy, his young partner in the gospel in 1 Timothy 4, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. He says, don't let them do it. And then the text actually reads in verses like 11 through 14, he says, Timothy, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. He said, Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Persevere in them. So I ask today, young people called by God and set apart for his will, is your answer yes to his call? Well, what does yes look like? We have our own ideas of what yes looks like. But as stated in our main idea, answering the call is living by faith in Christ, day by day by day. We are called to listen. And when, you know, the Lord told me this, I said, well, I can do that. I can listen. And, you know, our example for that is in 1 Samuel 3. And I'm just going to read it really quick here. This is about Samuel's calling. And you all probably have read it before. But it says that the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel, lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was lying down in the house of the Lord. The Lord called Samuel. Here I am. But he ran to Eli. He says, "Here I am, you called me." Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down." So he did. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel went up, went to Eli. "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you." That voice was audible. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle." The Lord called Samuel, and all Samuel had to do was listen. And I said, "Lord, I can do that. I can do that, Lord." Because, you know, when we think of the calling of the Lord, we think, "He's calling me to go do something huge." What about if he's calling us first to listen? Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." Every day we get to listen to the voice of the Lord. The disciples spent a lot of time just listening. And Jesus would often take them away just to talk to them. You know, just to talk to them. When we begin a new day with listening in mind, we are answering the call. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known." Great and hidden things that you have not known. I'm up for that. When we listen, what will we hear him say to us? Isaiah 43, verse 1. And, you know, sticking with Isaiah a little bit, but Isaiah, it's a lot of nuggets in Isaiah. And, you know, redemption is preached throughout Isaiah, even though it's in the Old Testament. So Isaiah 43 says, "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel." And you know, when I read, you know, and our dear sister did this last Sunday, she had us put in our gender in the verse, because the verse was saying, you know, man, and then personalize. So let's personalize that. And we want to do that with this scripture. Personalize it. The one who created you, the one who formed you, what does he want to say? "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are mine is one of the things that he wants to say to us. You know, we think that, you know, when the Lord calls us, and this is I thought that when he called me, the calling of God refers only to preaching. That it refers only to being a pastor. Oh yeah, the pastor's been called to be a pastor. Or a missionary. Oh, a missionary has been called. Our idea of what calling means, you know, sometimes is too narrow, because he has indeed called each and every one of us. And the fact that you're sitting in here today is because you have answered affirmatively to that call. And one of the things that he wants to say to us constantly is, fear not. How much of our lives, our day-to-day moments, are lived in fear? How many of our moments are filled with fear? So one of the things he says to Isaiah is, fear not. And you know, one of the expositories on this chapter, it says, fear not appears 365 times, one for every day of the year. There's a fear not for us every day. Every day we need to hear that. And the Lord knows it. So when he called us, he called us to a fearless life. How can that be? How can we live without fear? He says, I knew you before you created. So I know that this is possible. And Jeremiah, you know, in Jeremiah, one of the things that came through Jeremiah was, passages says, you know, asking the question, is anything too difficult for God? Is anything too difficult? And sometimes, you know, as fear grips us, and, you know, fear is whether imagined, whether based in some substance, it's real. And, you know, whether you feel it in a physical way, you know, palpitations, tremors, actually feeling like you cannot even move. Fear can actually lock you in your step. Paralyzing fear, you've probably heard of. Can't move. Can't even think about the next step. I get there. And I get there a lot. But the Lord says, I called you to listen. And one of the things I'm going to say to you is, have no fear. Is that possible, Lord? With God, all things are possible. So every time we face fear, we experience fear, in that moment, it's possible. And God has blessed us with moments. We have this moment. We haven't lived that next moment yet. He's in that next moment already. Isn't he? Yeah. He's already facing Monday morning. Mm-hmm. It's already Monday for him. Yeah. So he can actually say to us don't worry about Monday. Because he's already there. So if he's already there, he's got a handle on Monday already. So he can say that to us. And as we listen, we'll hear him saying it to us. And if he has to say it to us 50 times a minute, that means we have 10 seconds in that minute where we didn't think about being afraid. The rest of the 50 seconds, we have the Lord telling us, fear not. Lord, I'm listening. I'm answering the call to listen to that. I'm going to listen to that by your grace, Lord. But he called us to listen. And to Isaiah, he says, look, I called you. I called you by your name. When your parents didn't know what to name you, I already knew. I already knew that about you. And so if I already knew that, then I can tell you this. Nobody else can tell you this, but one person who can tell you that is me, says the Lord Almighty. And so as, you know, my calling, says, and choosing you guarantees that you never have to fear ever again. I need a dose of that every day. Fear not. And so in Isaiah 43, it goes on. Now, see, God covers it all. And as we listen to him moment by moment, you know, this past Bible study, we're talking about that passage of scripture about how God searches and, you know, the scripture is, you know, goes deep into us. Searching, you know, it's like a two-edged sword. And we explored that passage. Ooh, it was sweet. Because I never saw that passage the way we talked about it. And, you know, Pastor, divinely led, yes. He says when something searches something, you're either shining a light on it to discover something or to fix something. And he was talking about how God's word, when God's word is shining into us like that, he's shining into us to fix something, not to show us up. He already knows everything that's in there. And then that passage goes on to talk about how we have been given rest. We've been called to rest. And that God shines his light in us so that he can see those areas where we need to rest. And so he is always, you know, I think that I'm resting, but then he'll shine his light and, ooh, look at that. Oh, man. Lord, I am in total unrest there. Mm-hmm. He shines the word into that place. And he says, I see this place in you. And you know that pastor says, we have a great high priest. Mm-hmm. We have one that has gone through the heavens. And he calls us to rest. Lord, you're calling me to rest. So in Isaiah, he says, Isaiah, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the holy, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And he goes on to say, he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. You know, the Lord gave me this as a promise. And many years ago, and what the Lord was, when the Lord gave me this particular verse, he was revealing to me that he was talking about my spiritual children. He says, I got a lot of spiritual children, Grace, for you to bear. And I said, Lord, you do? And he says, yes, I do. And so, you know, as I go day by day through my work, I meet a lot of people. And I have to talk in my job. I'm a teacher. I talk all day long. Lost my voice this week. This week I couldn't even talk this week. But you know what? When I go through various medical office buildings and I may hear somebody say, hey, Miss Grace, can I talk to you a minute? And I was like, now how does this person, all these people calling me Miss Grace? But you know what? The Lord said that he would bring my children from the east and from the west. And so when I meet people as I'm walking among them, I believe they're my spiritual children. And that the Lord has a spiritual message for them. And that he wants to bring them to faith in him. Whatever my topic may be that day, okay. I'm talking about immunizations, yeah, and how to inject kids. Somehow the Lord comes in there and just seamlessly get to magnify him in some kind of way. And, you know, from time to time, it's like people will say, oh, you got faith, don't you? You're a believer. And he's like, the Lord is, he's changing me. He's changing me right before my eyes. And he's changing you right before your eyes, too. And I was not, you know, as I stand and talk to people, I was not like that, you know, especially teaching and all. And I'm, you know, there's a lot of unrest where I work. But the Lord, in his power and might, is like a refreshing breeze. And I feel him flowing, that refreshing breeze. And they come into the classroom and they're upset and they're disgruntled and they sit like this. And the Lord is helping me to look past it. It's miraculous. It really is. And before you know it, some of them laugh at something I say. And I like to be funny, I do. But I don't work at it, just kind of, it's part of the Lord's gift. It really is. It is not me. But the Lord, that's how he shows up. And then I'm able to give him glory. When they said, you know, that was really funny, I said, well, you know what? It's not over yet. God is on the throne. God is in charge. He's in charge of me, and he's in charge of you. And whoever God chooses to let that message go to, it's a fulfillment of this promise. I'm going to bring your children from the east, the west. I'm going to say, give them up. Don't hold them back. Because the Lord, he's got something going on when we answer the call. So we're called to listen. And one of the messages that I hear all the time is, fear not, because I need to hear it. And the fear not is, you should not be fearing. Didn't I tell you not to be afraid? That's not what it sounds like. Sounds like, I got you. I got this. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear this thing here. you don't have to, because I got it. And he entreats me, and he moves us to another place, that place of faith. So answering the call is living by faith in Christ day by day by day. It's sitting at his feet. I imagine disciples just sitting and just listening and listening. And it's like, okay, Lord, we can do that. Number two, we are called to take Jesus to the world. And the world is a physical place. It's also a mindset. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus called the 12 together. And it says that he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Jesus can be so specific. Lord, what about this? No. What about this? No. I got that for you. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Here Jesus sends them out into the vicinity to proclaim the good news that the Savior has come. Don't take your usual baggage. I will provide. Just take me. They need healing. You sure I shouldn't take my medical bag? The kind of healing that they need is not in the bag. There is a healing that only he can bring. And he's got that. You know, there's a lot of unwellness. And sometimes it's so complicated. But you know, we can take that to the Lord. He is a healer, and he is still healing. I'm weighed down today, Lord. But still I'm available to answer the call. They went out into the neighboring towns proclaiming Jesus. You know, we get to proclaim him with our words as well as our actions. It's a privilege to be able to demonstrate Christ. It's not a chore, but a cherished privilege. We go into the world, into the physical world, on the offense. We have what the world is looking and longing for. When we go out of our doors or we go online, we can believe that. We have what the world is looking for. We do. And the world may not even know what they really need. But the Lord will show us that Jesus is really what is needed in that situation. We carry the ball, right? We carry the ball. That's the offense, right? Everybody's trying to get the ball. Everybody's trying to get the person with the ball. We carry the ball. We have what the world needs. And, you know, that's also our mindset that the Lord wants. That's the mindset the Lord wanted the disciples to know. You have exactly what they need. Don't get it wrong. What would happen if we have that idea about stepping out our door in the morning? There's a lot of stuff that I'm really not ready for tomorrow, But nevertheless, I have what the world needs tomorrow. I have what, when we walk into a place with that in our minds, it changes a lot of things. It transports us from this natural world to the spiritual world, where the battle really is. I have exactly what the world needs. Do you believe that? When we walk out into the world, we're carrying the ball. We don't have to be on the defensive, running, hiding, afraid, you know. No, I'm not going to do that today. I have the ball. I have Christ. I have what is needed. You know, I had what I've been calling this week my Psalms 116 moment. I felt ill-prepared to go into the world of work. And so I just kind of flipped to a psalm, and this was the psalm. And the Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And the Lord made that really sweet to me. I was like, I don't know what today holds, but one thing I do know, I am going to call on the Lord for as long as I live. There's a lot I don't know. In fact, actually, the message today was going to be, well, you know, all the stuff I don't know. I said, I can talk a lot about what I don't know, Lord. So that's we're going to talk about what I don't know. That could fill several rooms and several books. But I do know this. I will call on the name of the Lord for as long as I live. That's a sure. It's good to have something you're sure of. Because all the stuff that I'm not sure of, but I'm sure of this, I'm going to be calling on the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. I got somewhere I'm going to run into and I will be safe. No matter what is going on, I will call on the name of the Lord. And the psalm, another psalm says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We can run in there and find safety. Be safe. Feels good to be safe. The Lord's name is that for us. It says in Psalms 116, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was so overcome by distress and sorrow. This person felt like they were going to die. He says the cords of death just wrapped all around him. Distress, sorrow. Have you felt that? Have you been there? Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. That's what it says. Lord, save me. Oh, blessed Jesus. And I've called on the Lord that day at work. I said, Lord, save me. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. No other help. All other ground is sinking sand. That's the truth. It's just the truth. All other ground is sinking sand. They promised us some things at my job. Uh-oh. They promised us some stuff. They had it in writing. But then there was an addendum. No other help I know. Mm-hmm. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. And then he says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. He has delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So the world, the Lord sends us into a real place with his divine enablement, with the knowledge that he is what the world needs. Now the world is also a mindset. Yes, it's a physical place that we live in, but the world is a mindset. We are encountering a mindset, a particular point of view about God in the world. We learn about this mindset in 2 Corinthians 10. And, you know, Paul, in this few verses here, he says, you know, he had a lot to deal with the believers in Corinth. And so his writings, it's kind of interesting. You know, I kind of like, he says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people. And when I read that, I chuckle because I'm like, do those people know who he's talking about in this letter? But he says, some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they are divine. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That is the point of view. That is the world's point of view that Paul is warning this Christian church about. Arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The world is a mindset that says, God is secondary. The world is a mindset that questions the goodness and sovereignty of God. It's a mindset that questions his choice of us. You're not chosen. Who? You? Because the world has a different purview. And, you know, I was just so excited to hear our worship team, that song. It says, you know, that song says, away with the dark clouds, for the sun is come out once again. Lift your voice, celebrate, let the dancing begin. Come and sing. So let the people who love the Lord rejoice and shout and triumph. It's a must. Oh, listen, that you sing with us and make it loud. Make it loud. And the L is lift up your voices. The O is out to the heavens. And the U is under the anointing. And says, don't, he says over and over, you've got the victory. Make it loud. Mm-hmm. make it loud. I've got the anointing. It says, both his goodness and mercy has overtaken us. We are found. Let the joy of the Lord is the strength that abounds. And we say, for he has made me glad. So yes, you know, that worldly mindset, it's a mindset that says, I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being confident and assured. But our confidence and assuredness is not in ourselves. It's in God. And when we are shaken, we're shaken many times because we realize our own weakness. Yes. And we realize that it can't happen. Whatever it is, when our reliance is outside of who God is. And when we mess up and we get down, it's because, you know, we fail our own selves, right? We can't even measure up sometimes to our own selves. And that makes us feel bad. But God, he wants us to completely rely on him. And, you know, he has to be teaching us day by day, moment by moment, what that really looks like. Because we have our own idea about what it looks like. And he, in his love and mercy and grace, is showing us what it really looks like to rely on him and knowing that he cannot fail. He cannot lie. He cannot break his promise to us. So, you know, it's on God. We are called to believe and to share that we believe in someone who is a present help in trouble, someone who really will move mountains, even when that mountain is me. Yes, yeah, sometimes the mountain is me. And the Lord can move me. He shifts me. It's like, wait a minute, ooh, what happened there, Lord? Oh, what happened? I got a new way of thinking about this thing here. Ooh, I don't know if I want to think about it that way, though, Lord. Yeah, the Lord, you know, did that. I can't go into the details, but I was thinking about a certain thing, and the Lord completely reoriented me. He says, what about if to love someone means this instead of what you think it means? What about if this is how it looks? It's like, ooh, ooh, Lord. So that mountain is me, and you are moving this mountain. Ooh, I like it, I think. I think I like it, Lord. I think I like being moved in this direction. It's radical, Lord. It's radical. I never thought like this before. And that's what he does, right? We have answered the call, and he is talking to us, and he is working in us, around us, in front of us, fixing what was behind us, giving us a new way of thinking about what was behind us. He says, what about if you think about it this way? And he's doing it. Thank you, Lord. So, answering the call in a world that is increasingly barren, barrenness all around, I can be satisfied. We can be satisfied. The Lord showed me that too. It's like, wow, I had an idea of what barrenness meant. You know, usually you think about not having children or, you know, that was my mindset. But the Lord showed me that barrenness can be a multitude of things. We can feel barren in our circumstance. We can feel that we just don't have what we should have. And so we feel a loss. We feel an emptiness. We feel like, I should have this, but I don't. I feel cheated. And the Lord was showing me that I was feeling barren in a situation. And he had so many promises for the barren that the Lord showed me that these promises are for you, Grace, in your barrenness. So, strangely enough, he helped me to embrace my barrenness. I felt like I wanted to hold it close because I was holding him close, that he was close to the barren. He wraps his arms around the barren. And so I didn't want to lose that. I actually felt comforted in my barrenness. And so, Lord, I said, I'm going to sit right here, right now, and be barren. Because I'm sitting with you right here, right now, and I feel your comfort. I feel your comfort, Lord. He is all that and so much more. So, you know, so I say yes to listening. We say yes to listening and to showing up in the world with him day by day by day. Amen. Answering the call. Amen. That's it.